Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is Rock and Roll Friday on The Savage Nation, Little Darling. I did watch the debate last night, and I was impressed and depressed at the same time. I was impressed with the dignity of the liberal Democrat feminist hosts, who were not grandstanding, just hiding things. For example, they didn't talk about the FBI investigating Hillary Clinton. Not one question about that. Not one question about the FBI investigating Hillary Clinton. Judy Woodruff, of course, I'd say should be ashamed of herself, but she's a long-term Clinton supporter. Gwen Landfill ignored these controversies. They wouldn't even talk about it. All they talked about was healthcare, police brutality, the Koch brothers, campaign finance, and they let the little commie scream his head off. But it was a good debate, nevertheless, because the questions that were asked, I thought, created quite a controversy, and I framed it as seven pickles versus seven lotuses. As I told you last week, I try to give a theme or a headline to every one of my shows. Tonight's show is seven pickles versus seven lotuses. And why do I say that? Because on one side of the debate last night, we had the pickle man from a deli in Queens versus the Chinese restaurant owner from a restaurant in Queens circa 1950. First of all, where did Hillary Clinton get that jacket? The Chinese jacket was astounding. I thought she must have bought it from a museum on eBay, maybe from Ripley's Believe It or Not website. What was she thinking? What was the Mao jacket for? Again, I used to see these jackets in Chinese restaurants in Queens, New York in the 1950s. It was the era of Chinese food when those dishes, little dishes, came in stainless steel. Remember them, stainless steel dishes, covers on them? The menus contained only old-style Mandarin Chinese food, egg foo young, chop suey, shrimp and lobster sauce, spare ribs. That was on one side, Hillary Clinton, the restaurant owner. On the other side was the pickle man, promising a pickle in every pot if he won. Now, on the other side, we had two moderators who were quite moderate in their moderating, certainly better than what I have seen before on Fox, MSNBC, and CNBC, certainly better than Megyn Kelly and Rachel Maddow. I mean, they were dignified and quiet. However, there was an undertone of total depression, like the Great Depression was here already, like there were soup kitchens and lines for apples. You know, hey, brother, can you spare a dime? The Great Depression was here. What's interesting about it is that we've had a radical left-wing fanatic in the White House for 7.5 years, and they're saying that the economy is rotten, the people are divided, and they're going to save us from this. But wait a minute now. We haven't had a Republican president, so who are they blaming? Why, they're blaming Barack Obama. How is that possible? If he's used every tool at his disposal to subvert the Constitution, which he's done, gone around Congress, etc., rigged things, he's gotten everything he wanted, and here we are. Two leftists saying that we're not left enough. It was very sad, very dark, very somber. The world was terrible. And everywhere you turned, there was more depression. Every discussion was about racism. Every discussion was about the oppression of blacks. I'm sorry, it's getting to me. Are you telling me that every person who was arrested of any color is arrested because they're innocent? You know, there are criminals of all races. So let's stop saying all cops are racists, because that's the reason cops are getting killed randomly around America, Mr. Obama and Bernie Sanders, you demagogue thing, you. The fact of the matter is not all cops are Ku Klux Klan members, and they're not picking on all minorities. So we have to stop listening to these demagogues, especially if you are in the law enforcement world. How can any woman who has a husband who's a cop or any law enforcement family ever vote for a Democrat when they are targeting your people for extinction? I don't understand. How could you vote for Hillary, that demagogue? How could you do that? They're provoking race war in the country. Now, this comes, of course, from Barack Obama, who has lived on this enmity. He got where he is through the enmity. He has divided and conquered. That's how he got where he is. has time to stop listening to it. But I want to know about the other underrepresented communities in America. I heard about some underrepresented communities. The moderators, Judy Woodruff and the other one, Gwen Landfill, were asking about underrepresented communities and what Bernie Sanders and Hillary would do for them. Well, I'd like to know about other underrepresented communities. For example, I want to know what Bernie Sanders is going to do, for example, the ED community. No one talked about that. Look at the millions upon millions of pills for ED that are sold every day, Viagra, Levitra, Cialis. There is a huge secret humiliation in erectile dysfunction. And I want to know what Bernie and Hillary are going to do for the vast, silent, and suffering ED community. And while we're at the ED community, what about the other underrepresented communities in America that are not being represented by these evil Republicans? For example, the gelded horses, the gelded toy poodles, the fixed dogs. Now, although they're animals, they're still kind of cool. What is Bernie Sanders going to do for all these gelded toy poodles? There are thousands of gelded toy poodles out there. Humiliated sick toy poodles who suffer in silence every day, crying their way to sleep every night. What is Bernie Sanders going to do for that underrepresented community? And really, what is Hillary going to do for this underrepresented community? I want to know about these other underrepresented communities out there. And that's the opening of the show. 75% of tech workers in Silicon Valley are foreign-born. That's what Facebook has done. I have to repeat this till my tongue doesn't stick to the roof of my mouth. The liars who run the tech companies say that they're doing it because they love immigrants. No, they don't. They love cheap labor. 75% of tech workers in Silicon Valley are foreign-born. Facebook, you name the companies, are stepping over American workers and getting rid of them. Somebody wrote and said, well, you say it's only 75%? He said, if you're just counting programmers or engineering, that's not related to a paper-pushing executive, it has to be higher, at least 90%. He says, as a corporate tech myself with almost 30 years experience, I can't recall the last time we hired a U.S.-born naturalized college grad for that type of work. But they sure find boatloads of H-1Bs from India to do any available work. Another emailer wrote, if you want to see the effects of this criminal behavior by Facebook and the other pigs in Silicon Valley, go look at biomedical research. Biomedical science is the highest demand field of all for advanced education, graduating five times more PhDs than computer science. Yet you see American grad schools full of foreigners, most of whom already have a foreign master's or doctorate that is really only equivalent to a U.S. bachelor's degree, if that at all. 800,000 Americans applied for 300,000 graduate school slots last year. We already have a threefold surplus. But almost 800,000 foreigners also applied. And at the end of the day, the grad schools extended 250,000 offers to foreign students, while hundreds of thousands of American PhD grad students were passed over. And tell me something about that, if you don't mind, Hillary and Bernie. Tell me about fairness while you're picking on American workers while lying about immigrants and how they're being oppressed. Well, that's the true opening of the Savage Nation. The phone number is 855-47282. I have no questions. I have only comments. I have only your calls. And I have only Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth and financial future. Call 1-800-289-2646. Here is Rock and Roll Friday. So, aside from the fact that the two Democrat feminists who were so-called moderators were kind of dignified compared to Megyn Kelly and Rachel Maddow, and it had a somber tone to it. They didn't ask questions about the email scandal, which is a real question since it's on the minds of almost all Americans who study law and order. The FBI is conducting an investigation of sharing top-secret emails, and yet the two planted moderators didn't ask about that, and it was embarrassing. But aside from that, I found some of the questions quite interesting. For example, Woodruff asked Hillary about George Soros' donations. I thought it was shocking that she would even ask it. And the answer was even more interesting because you could see Clinton lying through her teeth, just as Bernie wouldn't answer a question that was real. Like when Woodruff asked Bernie about how big would government be Would there be any limit on the size of the role of government? Sanders lied, as pickle men will. Pickle men in delis, of course, charge you for a quarter of a pound of corned beef and give you an eighth of a pound of corned beef. Pickle men in delis give you one pickle when the sandwich calls for two pickles. Sanders is no different than any other pickle man in the deli in New York City in the 1940s or 50s. He's promising you something he cannot or will not deliver. In plain English, he's nothing but a demagogue, a little mini Lenin. So let's listen to clip numbers 2 and 3 on the issue of George Soros donating a huge sum to Hillary Clinton.
Secretary Clinton, your campaign has recently ramped up criticism of Senator Sanders for attending Democratic Party fundraisers from which you say he benefited. But nearly half of your financial sector donations appear to come from just two wealthy financiers, George Soros and Donald Sussman, for a total of about $10 million. You have said that there's no quid pro quo involved. But is that also true of the donations that wealthy Republicans give to Republican candidates, contributors including the Koch brothers?
I can't speak for the Koch brothers. You're referring to a super PAC that we don't coordinate with, that was set up to support President Obama, that has now decided they want to support me. They are the ones who should respond to any questions. Let's talk about our campaigns.
That's an embarrassment. But did you notice what Woodruff did? She brings up something which makes it sound like she's challenging Hillary and then throws her a softball and say, is there a quid pro quo between the wealthy Republican donors and Republican candidates? And Hillary didn't even take that bait. Interestingly enough, she gave Hillary an easy out and Hillary missed it. Hillary missed the softball and went for the hardball, swung and missed, by the way. And then there was another interchange that I found this in very interesting, which was, again, Judy Woodruff asking Sanders, the little mini Lenin, about how big the government would be for all of the freebies he's promising in clip number 5.
My question is, how big would government be? Would there be any limit on the size role of government?
Of course there will be a limit. But when today you have massive levels of income and wealth inequality, when the middle class is disappearing, you have the highest rate of childhood poverty of almost any major country on earth.
Yes, in my view, off it already, you liar, you.
Society has a moral responsibility to play a vital role in making sure that all of our people have a decent standard of living.
We have the highest standard of living in the world. More people don't work than in any other place on earth. And he's still talking like it's 1930 and there's soup kitchens and child labor in a factory. Where is this idiot from? How'd they dig this creep up? Answer. It's quite simple. The people are stupid. Did you know that the millennial so-called generation, the drug addicts who are raised on Adderall, Ritalin, and other drugs, who are stupid, they may look pretty and smart, they're morons. Millennials pick socialism over capitalism. These smiling morons don't even know what socialism is. You know, I thought about Bernie's appeal, and one of the things that struck me that no one's talked about, so far as I know, is missing fathers and families. Have you heard that discussed, Robert? It came to me the other night that, you know, there's a lot of single-parent families in America, a lot of mothers raising children, a lot of absentee fathers. This guy Sanders is sort of like a friendly missing father that they wish they had. Or a friendly missing grandfather who says he's for everyone who's oppressed. And he's kind of likable, you know? Dirty suit, purple hands that he waves in your face every second. I don't know if I may have to leave the country. The thought of him waving those purple fingers for 8 years, I don't know, be enough to make me move to France. I might give up my American citizenship and become a talk show host in Paris and have to brush up on my French. The thought of him waving those engorged purple fingers at me for the rest of my life, I don't think I could take it. But aside from that, the reason the children who have been brainwashed in college after growing up on Adderall, Ritalin, marijuana, and pure and unadulterated brainwashing in the schools are going for it because they don't know that 80 million people died in the last century from socialism in the Soviet Union. They don't know that Hitler was a socialist. Yes, that's right. National socialism, but they can't put the two and two together. They see the word Nazi and they say right-winger, but he was actually a left-winger. You don't know that. He was also a vegetarian. He was also a teetotaler. You didn't know that either. He eschewed alcohol. He didn't eat meat. Did you know old Adolf was actually a vegan? Didn't eat meat. Didn't drink. He just liked to kill Jews and others who opposed him. That was his one little problem. But the fact of the matter is he was a socialist, national socialist. Yeah, look it up. Look at the German words, N-A-Z-I, national socialism. In fact, he was a pure socialist. I don't know if you know the inner story of Hitler. He had a street thug named Ernst Röhm, heavy-set guy with a dueling scar, who led the SA, the brown shirts, the street thugs, who went around beating up anyone who opposed Hitler in the beginning. Beat them up, you know, broke the stores down. A brute of a man. After Hitler gained power, Ernst Röhm of the SA said to him, "Hey, Adolf, we've been together from the beginning, but you're not pure enough as a socialist. You're letting the industrialists run their own factories, and you didn't take control of them. Why haven't you nationalized the Krupp steel plants, for example?" And Hitler, of course, was a very brilliant politician who knew that he couldn't antagonize Silicon Valley, Microsoft of his time, Google. And so he let them rage without paying taxes. Sound familiar? Well, he had Ernst Röhm killed, eventually, in the Night of the Long Knives. Read about it. Read about Ernst Röhm's proclivities in the Night of the Long Knives.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage.
For me, it's the first issue. It's a defining issue. How do we strengthen our democracy? As I've told you before, our founders sacrificed their lives, their liberty, their sacred honor for a democracy, a government of the many, not a government of the money.
A government of the money? Look who's talking. Has anyone investigated what Nancy Pelosi's net worth has become since she became Congresswoman and then Speaker of the House? What does she think that everyone who listens to that rhetoric of hers believes a word she says? It's beyond me what the Democrats are getting away with. Now, last night, the Democrat socialist feminist moderators brought up something interesting. And I thought it was more interesting than what Megyn Kelly could have ever thought up, because they're much smarter than her. They're left-wingers, but they're overtly left-wingers. Megyn is a left-winger, pretended to be a centrist to make it on the Fox News Network. That's obvious to everyone right now. Look who she's had on, Michael Moore. The show she goes on are all left-wing shows. And people still think it's whatever. Okay, we've made that point 100 times. It's irrelevant what she thinks. She's just one woman amongst many. But last night, the moderator, Landfill, asked Hillary if working-class white Americans should feel resentful. I thought it was amazing. It's as though they forgot that there are still white people in America. Every other question was about everyone except poor white people, or even middle-class white people. So my hat goes off to Landfill. Let's listen to 14.
When we talk about race in this country, we always talk about African Americans, people of color. I want to talk to you about white people. Okay?
White people.
I know. So,
you hear? Hold it. Did you hear that? Did you hear Sanders, how shocked he was? White people? Oh, white people? Oh, I'm not ready for that one. I haven't. All ready to talk about blacks and Hispanics and gays and immigrants and Muslims? White people? How dare you? Listen to this. It's amazing.
Sitting in one of the most racially polarized metropolitan areas in the country. By the middle of the century, the nation is going to be majority non-white. Our public schools are already there. If working-class white Americans are about to be outnumbered, are already underemployed in many cases, and one study found they are dying sooner, don't they have a reason to be resentful, Senator Secretary Clinton?
Look, I am deeply concerned about what's happening in every community in America, and that includes white communities.
That's
where
nice.
We are seeing an increase in...
All right, so she took the bait,
alcohol.
In other words. It was a setup for Hillary Clinton, incidentally. She had a ready answer on a cue card, and she goes into the whole white community litany of what's wrong in poor white communities, and she goes into coal country. I mean, I thought it was a coal miner's daughter. These people are living in the past. They're both living in the 60s. They got stuck in the 60s, and they can't get out of there. But okay. It was an interesting question. And then Ifill asks, Well, listen to 16 and judge for yourself.
Am I wrong? Is it even right to be describing this as a matter of race?
Yeah, you can. Because African Americans and Latinos not only face the general economic crises of low wages and high unemployment and poor educational opportunities, but they face other problems as well. So, yes, we can talk about it as a racial issue, but it is a general economic issue.
See, this communist is actually a threat to our survival as a nation. This old man is actually the most evil man that's ever appeared on a political stage. He is the most racially divisive, the most politically divisive. This man will set off a race war to keep moving ahead in the polls. You have no idea how dangerous this man is. Did you hear the big lie? African Americans and Latinos not only face the general economic crisis of low wages and high unemployment, we just showed you that 75% of tech workers in Silicon Valley are foreign-born. Take a guess who got displaced in Silicon Valley and all the high-tech areas. White men. White men were thrown out so that the pigs could make another dollar. It's not enough he's worth $80 billion. He needs to be worth $90 billion by the end of the year and make believe that he's in favor of immigrants. So here's Sanders feeding the big lie. And then he talks about poor educational opportunities. So far as I know, all educational opportunities in public schools are about the same. What does he mean by poor educational opportunities? Let's analyze that, Bernie. I come from an immigrant family. I came from a poor family. I went to public schools my entire life. I couldn't afford to go to a private college. I couldn't afford to go to a private high school like Barack Obama did. Barack Obama went to a private high school. Barack Obama went to a private college. Look how it's worked out for him. I didn't have those advantages. But the issue is, what do you mean they have a lack of opportunities? Poor white kids go to bad schools too. Poor black kids go to bad schools. Some thrive in these schools, Bernie. It has little to do with race. It has to do with character. Period. End of story. And everybody knows that. Ask the teachers if it's wrong. I'm a former school teacher, and I've taught in all black schools, in case you don't know it. Shall I tell you about those experiences? Am I allowed to remind you of who I actually am, as opposed to who the liars say I am? Can I tell you about the schools I worked in? Can I tell you about the heartbreaking scenes I saw? I will one day, but not now, because I'm not in the mood to do it. There's an awful lot about me you don't know that you need to know before you draw your stupid conclusions. I love the haters on the internet. I love the warriors with a keyboard who are quick to hate and put everybody down without knowing what they're talking about. But the fact of the matter is poor. It doesn't matter what your race is. Some will thrive and some won't. And it's all got to do with character, nothing else. And I'll tell you something else. If you walk around thinking that somebody owes you something, you better remember what I'm about to tell you. A man was sitting on a park bench, and he had his head down. I don't know what his race was. It doesn't matter. He had his head down, and he was depressed. And an older woman sat down next to him and started to talk to him, so what's the matter? And he told her. He says, look, she said to him, if you think someone owes you a living, what you should know is it's up to you to go out and get that living, not to sit there and complain about it. That's what she told him. In a way, she slapped him in the face verbally. Don't sit there and feel sorry for yourself or walk around saying that it's a racist society. You know what you'll get with that? Nowhere. You'll wind up in jail anyway, no matter what you do. If you're going to pick on everybody around you and say it's got to do with race, you're going to wind up in prison anyway. And that's what happens when you get fed this lie by Bernie Sanders, the most dangerous man in America, modern American political history. That's my opinion. And I listen very carefully to this. This was the most racially pandering so-called debate I've ever seen in my life. Everything was about race. Everything was about race. And if you'd like me to be a little more specific, since I'm a scholar who is also an expert in statistics, I'll be a little more specific because I've heard this rubbish for 35, 40 years now. Here in Northern California, there's a community that is largely African-American. It's called Marin City, California. It's right next to Sausalito, California. It is largely an African-American community because their grandfathers came here from the South to build the Liberty ships of World War II, God bless them. They worked in the Kaiser shipyards right there in Sausalito. I know them very well because I made my first demo tape in a converted building, Quonset Hut, that became a sound studio. 1994, I went in there in 93, and I made a demo tape, which I sent out to 300 stations. because I wanted to get into radio and I wanted to be a talk radio host. No one came and said, oh, hey, come on, we got a job for you. I had to go out and seek it. I sent out my tape to 400 stations. I made the demo tape there, but I'm getting distracted. Marin City, largely African-American community, two generations later. Schools have some of the worst scores in the state. So 25, 30 years ago, the liberals of Marin County started to say it was based on racism. The low scores were based on racism in Marin City, California. And so they started demanding that the state of California spend more money per student in this African-American community called Marin City than any other school district around it, or for that matter, in the entire state. And I forget the numbers at the time. It was something like $14,000 in tax money per student as opposed to an average of $7,000 or $8,000. Guess what happened? The scores didn't go up. They stayed the same. Because it's not a matter of how much money or how many books or how many this and how many that. It's a matter of learning and wanting to learn. It's a matter of the parents. And it's a matter of the kids themselves. It has very little to do with race. And to me, that told me an awful lot. So when I hear this coming back all over again as a former educator, it really agitates me to listen to this sick demagogue, Bernie Sanders, put out these lies that are setting the nation on fire. He's setting the nation on fire. Now, if you want me to prove it to you, since I'm really warming up right now, I'll prove to you what Bernie Sanders and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton and the former attorney general have done to this country. Let's look at some of the stories of the day that you will not read in your local rag because they won't publish them. They only publish certain stories with certain narratives, certain villains. Here's one from Washington State. A Muslim shouting Allahu Akbar tries to behead a prison officer, almost cut his head off. In Ohio, a machete-wielding Muslim injured patrons at a restaurant which was owned by a pro-Israel Arab Christian. The Muslim went table to table with a machete, chopping people's hands off and hitting them with a machete without saying a word. Is that a result of race, Bernie? You're burning the nation down, Bernie. And while you're at it, Bernie, burning the nation down, socialist France, listen to what I said, Bernie, a real socialist, not a demagogue like you, socialist France is closing down as many as 160 mosques. 160 mosques are being shut down by Hollande, a true socialist leader, because they found war-grade weapons in some of them. Bernie, you're burning the nation down, Bernie. And by the way, if things are so bad in America today, Bernie and Hillary, who do you have to blame for it since Barack Obama has been a virtual dictator for 7 and some odd years right now? He's gotten virtually everything he's ever wanted done. So who are you going to blame for that? The vast right-wing conspiracy in the White House, Bernie and Hillary? Oh, I know, but there's a lot of work yet to be done. He hasn't taken away all the guns. He hasn't given free health care to every third worlder on the planet. He hasn't yet evicted white people from their communities. There's an awful lot to be done, Bernie, isn't there? Listen, we're in the midst of a revolution in this country, and either you stand up and speak out like I do and be counted, or don't blame somebody else when they come to take you away. I'm telling you how bad this is. Bernie is the most dangerous demagogue in the modern history of American politics. Don't underestimate this man. And I'll go a step further. He's liable to win the primary no matter what Hillary does. Now, she's rigging it, I know that. Her machine is much more powerful than his, and she's rigging it with the delegates. I get that. But don't be surprised if he doesn't become the nominee of the Democrat Socialist Islamist Party, USA. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Hey, our Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust for wealth insurance, gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COI. It's a continuation of the other day's show of Revolution Comes to America. And what did you expect would happen after 8 years of a demagogue called Obama relentlessly fear-mongering about the corruption of capitalism, the inequities of race? What do you think would happen if you constantly do that in a nation? Do you think that the lunatics would not start cutting off heads and hands with machetes in coffee shops in Ohio? Do you think that police would not become executions, there would not be executions of police randomly across America if you did that and you were the Attorney General and President of the United States, or you ran the New York Times or the LA Times, or you were in charge, Zucker, of CNN. What do you think would happen if you blamed everything in America on inherent racism? What do you think would happen, Zucker? You all have blood on your hands. You all have blood on your hands. Especially now you're blaming every economic tribulation on Wall Street and the bankers and the Koch brothers. And now you have two demagogues railing against the banks and saying all of modern banking is a fraud. Everyone in the Wall Street world, every stock is nothing but speculation, not based on anything. That's what the left is putting out. What do you think would happen when you do that? And that's why I say the soul of America is up for grabs. And I think, and I'll say it again, I said it this week, Trump represents America's hope. The Democrat Party, whoever it may be, the corrupt Hillary or the psychotic communist Bernie, in either case, those two represent the communist revolution. Now you'll say, oh, Savage, don't be so extremist. Oh, listen, I've studied the history of communism, and I told you that first they said we bring about socialism, which eventually would lead to communism. And when I see this old, sad sack hippie, Bernie, holding up his fist in a black power salute after lunch with a street thug called Al Sharpton, and he comes out like a revolutionary, this sad old man, and he's been a revolutionary his entire life, what do you think this old man intends to do if he had the power? Well, what do you think will follow if, God forbid, this psychotic street radical wins? Would you like to see Al Sharpton as Attorney General? Would you like to see the Black Panther Party running the U.S. military? Shall I go down the list of shopping items that Bernie Sanders may be shopping around after they seize your guns and they release the thugs upon the streets of America, arming them as Obama's private army? Now, look, although Obama may be out of office at the time, he can certainly wield power behind the scenes. And so make no mistake about it. There is a revolutionary wind in the air, and this election is all about the soul of America. I'm Michael Savage, and I approve of my email to myself. So let's cool it down, because there's two more hours on the Savage Nation. I watched the debate last night, although it was a day off that I took for personal reasons. I did look forward to the debate, and I wasn't disappointed. I mean, I was only disappointed in the pandering up to an extent. The constant race mentions got me sick. The softballs to Hillary got me sick. But some of the questions were far more fundamentally interesting than I would have expected from these two Democrat socialist feminists who were the moderators. I also found it interesting that there were two women. Why was there not one man and one woman from NPR? What is this, suddenly a nation of no men? What was the symbolism of NPR? Well, what was that about? Why were there two women moderators instead of one man moderator and one woman moderator? What's that about? Did men suddenly die in America? We have no voices left? We're not allowed to speak? We're supposed to disappear and crawl into a cave because the feminists have taken over the entire structure of America? Well, we're not dead yet, and we're not going anywhere. And let me tell you something. There's 40 to 50 million of us out here, so don't count us dead yet. We're not dead yet, Gwen and Bernie. We're still very much alive, Gwen and Bernie.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It was out of the park. It was like Yankee Stadium, and I hit it over the elevated trains over on the avenue that runs near Yankee Stadium, at least it ran in my day. The ball went so far out of the stadium, it hit a train on the elevated platform. I hope it didn't injure a passenger inside one of the cars. And so when you do an hour like that, the tendency is to try to repeat yourself, which I'm not going to do. If you missed it, you can catch it somewhere. I'm not going to repeat myself. Fundamentally, it was about revolution comes to America. Fundamentally, it was sound bites from last night's phony debate. Fundamentally, it was the fact that Bernie Sanders is the most dangerous political figure in perhaps modern American, if not total American history, to have risen to this state of stature, to this stature, pushing the big lie of racism, pushing the big lie of racial inequality, pushing the big lie of income inequality, pushing the big lie that every stockbroker is a crook, pushing the big lie that every banker is a thief, pushing the big lie that the cops are all Ku Klux Klan members who take off their white sheets in the morning and put on a blue uniform. He is the most dangerous and divisive criminal, in my opinion, that's ever, ever astoundedly reached that height. And remember, there are consequences to what he is saying and what Hillary is saying and what Barack Obama and Eric Holder said for several years, 6 years. There are people killing cops, walking up to them and shooting them. There are lunatic Muslims shouting Allah Akbar, cutting people's heads off, whether it's in Washington State or in Ohio, in a restaurant, which just happened yesterday, which won't make it to your lousy newspaper. And in France, and this is intriguing to me, France is run by a socialist, a classic socialist, by the way, who did not come to power preaching racial hatred the way Bernie Sanders is. It's a very different form of socialism in Europe than the brand that Bernie is pushing in America. Bernie is pushing a virulent form of racism, which he's disguising as socialism. And I'm not glorifying socialism because I am not a socialist, even though I talked about that this week, where I said I naturally should be a socialist, given the fact that I come from a poor immigrant family, but I am not. And I will talk about that again a little later on. Even in socialist France, Hollande is shutting down as many as 160 mosques because they found war-grade weapons in some of the mosques. Now, compare that with the cowards talking about Islam, talking about the war on terror in this nation, talking about the big lie that goes out there that every Muslim is being picked on in America and that only racists are afraid of the Syrian men of military age that Obama wants to flood into America. This is a very huge story. 160 mosques have been raided. 160 mosques have been raided, revealing a staggering number of weapons and ammunition. They conducted a raid on a mosque in Lagny-sur-Marne, 18 miles east of Paris. Oh, no, don't turn the dial. I know it's painful for you girls who are on Adderall. They uncovered 334 weapons and a large quantity of 7.62-millimeter Kalashnikov ammunition, along with ISIS propaganda videos. They also turned up recordings of chants glorifying the martyrs of jihad linked to the terrorist organization Jabhat al-Nusra, the Syrian branch of al-Qaeda. These chants were found in the mosques among teaching materials for youth in a madrasa or private religious school for boys connected to the mosque. So let me pause right there, because we in the West are being brainwashed with relativism. We in the West are being brainwashed over and over again, being told that all religions are morally equal, lying that anyone who is afraid of the radicals who are coming in under the guise of asylum, anyone who's doing that is a bigot or suffering from Islamophobia. But the truth doesn't uphold that. And yet you listen to the debate last night, you'd think that every person who fears the invasion that's coming as a result of the open doors policy is a sick person or a racist. My friends, nothing can be farther from the truth. And if you don't believe me, then study the reality rather than your newspapers. Now it's time for me to go to some of the calls. The phone number here is 855-407-2282. I have a few more debate sounds that I thought were worth playing, but maybe we'll get to them later. We're going to talk about the Zika virus, where the CDC is doing nothing, as usual. Here is the head of the CDC, Thomas Friedman, telling you to avoid being bitten by a mosquito. I swear to God, you would think you're living in the 17th century. This is the best that science can offer? I want you to listen to clips to 21, where the idiot who runs the CDC, Thomas Friedman, says that you should avoid being bitten by a mosquito. This is the best that the CDC can offer today as a result of the political jaundice that has poisoned this once esteemed scientific body. Clip 21.
First, we are quite literally discovering more about Zika every single day. Right now, the most important
thing, idiot,
for Americans to know is this. If you're pregnant, we recommend you not go to a place where Zika is spreading. And if you're pregnant and you live in an area where Zika is spreading, do everything you can to protect yourself against mosquito bites.
I'm sorry. I cannot believe that this passes for a speech. But this is what happens when Barack Obama has politicized every avenue of government down to the CDC. And that's why I've said to you, not so jokingly, that if Trump wins the presidency, one of the things that I want to do is advise him on how to replace these political fossils in the NIH and the CDC who are putting the world and the United States in danger. And trust me, I just might do it. And trust me, Trump just might win. And trust me, there's nothing illegal in me telling you what I just said to you. And trust me, I'm a man who follows through on what I say I'm going to do. And trust me on something else. Science and medicine in America today are totally and absolutely corrupt. They're corrupt from the top to the bottom because of a corrupt presidency. Do you understand how that works? Now callers, Dave on WJR, 30 seconds or less, fire away.
I was calling comparing Bernie to Hitler. And I just wanted to say that, like, besides them both being socialists and white guys, that's where their similarities end. I mean, Hitler wanted to kill everyone that didn't hold up to his ideals, like, right away. But Bernie wants to take the people that are lowest, the poorest, you know, hardest people that have it the hardest in this country, and bring them up, help them get college, give them a good...
Let's stop with it. Let's stop with your fairy tale. How is he going to pick them up? How does he do that?
With schools. Like, college is going to be free. I mean, that should be done.
Wait, what do you mean by free? Who's going to pay for the teachers and the electricity and the school books and the security guards? Who's going to pay for it? What do you mean free? Who's paying for the colleges that Bernie the communist is offering? Who's paying for it?
Well, you know as well as I do that Bernie has laid out how he does pay for it.
I just stop with Bernie already. I don't like the name Bernie. Tell me how this crackpot is going to pay for this free college.
With taxing on Wall Street, with the taxing of the
with the taxing on Wall Street. What does that mean? What does taxing on Wall Street mean? Do you even know what you're talking about?
Okay, I may not be as informed as, you know, a professional Wall Street Journal lawyer or whatever, but listen, I know...
But like a guppy in a fish tank, you ate it hook, line, and sinker. He dangled the worm, and like a guppy, you opened your mouth and you swallowed the hook. You didn't even think this through. What do you mean he's going to pay for it from Wall Street? What does that actually mean?
Well, look at the bankers that... destroyed this country in 2008 that made this country...
Hold it. Which bankers? Name the bankers who were destroying this country.
I don't know their names.
You don't know anything. You are the typical useful idiot that Lenin wrote about. You have taken this liar's lies and you've gobbled it up hook, line, and sinker. He dangled the worm in front of your mouth and you open your mouth like a fish and you bit. You don't even know what he's saying.
But
do you have any idea what socialism has done in the nations in which it has practiced over the years? Do you know the basics of socialism?
Okay, you're asking me... Okay, listen, you want to compare Hitler...
No, don't give me an okay. Answer the question. Don't give me an okay. Give me an answer. Do you know or don't you know?
Your question.
Let's take India, for example, and not waste the listener's time. Because my point of eating you up is not going to make me feel any better. Or you feeling worse is not going to make me feel any better. So let me give you a primer on socialism. Let's look at India before capitalism was brought into India in a big way. And India became a great machine of capitalism. Do you know anything about what happened in India after that?
In the world. Okay.
I'm asking a question. Stop with the gulping and going, okay. What happened in India after capitalism was unleashed in India and all of the red tape and the bureaucracy was put out of the way so entrepreneurs in India could start building factories and making a lot of money? Tell me what happened in India.
Well, I know there's a horrible caste system in India where there is very a separation of classes where...
Again, you don't know what you're talking about. Do you know what I just asked you? Can you even follow a discussion? Sir, how far did you go in school? Let me ask you that.
Yeah, no, I don't. Sorry. I can't answer your question. But
how far did you go in school?
I'm in college right now.
Ah, you're in college now. When? What year are you in Pittsburgh State Junior College?
I'm a junior, and I served in the Marines for 5 years, and I worked for a lot.
I don't care whether you served on the moon for 5 years. You can't even answer a simple question because you're not listening. You're buying this lie, hook, line, and sinker, but I think you're desperate to learn something, or you wouldn't have called the show. So let me repeat again. India was trapped in a caste system for forever. Do you understand that as step number one? And what happened in 1970 or thereabouts in India? The free market free market economics were introduced to India. What does that mean? It means the gigantic edifice of bureaucracy that had been established in India by the British, the bureaucracy was virtually taken off the backs of the entrepreneur. And what happened then? The average Indian man with money was able to invest in a small business or a small factory. And what happened in India then? Have you seen the landscape of India change since 1970? Well, that's a result of capitalism, not a result of Bernie Sanders-ism. Back in a minute.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Your Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust for tangible assets, gold and silver. Call 800-BUICO. I'm not going to do rock and roll right now. I'm not in the mood. Maybe another day I'll do rock and roll. No, play it. It's okay. But look, turn it off. I mean, I'm just so intently upset over the fact that there are such ignorant people in this country, mainly young people who have been brainwashed, raised on drugs like Adderall and Ritalin, marijuana, and they are biting hook, line, and sinker for something they don't even understand, such as socialism. So I gave an example of India. India was long a socialist nation. And then something happened. A global recession that began in the late 70s created economic stagnation, chronic shortages of foods and everything else, state inefficiency in India where everybody was paralyzed, and the people became disillusioned with state socialism. Now try to imagine America where the Department of Motor Vehicles, the DMV in your community, becomes everything in the country. Everything in the country would be like the DMV where you have to wait 2 hours for a salami, 3 hours for an appointment, to make an appointment with a doctor for 3 months down the line. That's what socialism brings. In the late 80s and 90s, it wasn't the 70s, in the late 80s and 90s, India's government systematically freed up the Indian economy and pursued what? Socialism? They pursued privatization. And they did this to attract foreign investment. And what happened? Take a look at the landscape of Indian cities. The cities bloomed. The same is true of communist China. Although it is politically a communist nation, it is very much socially an economic nation of freedom. They have more freedom in China than we do here to start a business. Do you know that there are lower taxes on businesses in China than there are under Barack Obama? You know the average corporation pays a lower tax rate in China than they do here in America under Barack Obama? Do you know that Russia and China have no inheritance tax? Which means that if you've earned a certain amount of money and it's been taxed money and you put it in the bank, you can pass it on to your children without being taxed again by the criminal governments that have stolen so many billions of dollars from so many citizens in the United States of America. We have a fundamental criminal enterprise running the United States of America. And now enter from stage far left two even more dangerous gangsters who want to do even graver harm to the engine of capitalism and engines of capitalism and freedom in the United States of America. Everything that you see that is operating in America will become crippled by socialism. Foreign investment will flee. Local investment will flee. Red tape will quadruple and envelop virtually everything you do. Do you understand what socialism is? Forget the old man is dangling a little worm in front of your face called freedom and equality. The old man is a dangerous Pied Piper. And that's all I want to say on this right now. I mean, there's so much more that I could say. I think you can study it on your own, but never forget the example of India that I gave you. It's a thumbnail example of what happens when a state eliminates red tape, meaning it gets rid of some of the laws and regulations, the restrictions on businesses, on permits. What happens when you free up an economy and you pursue privatization? What happens is a country booms. Look how stagnant Cuba is because two monster dictators have been running it for 50 years. It's not a free society. It's a criminal socialist society. Why has Cuba stagnated? It's not because of evil America. It's because of two evil dictators who have crippled Cuba and turned the Cuban people into absolute slaves. But again, this is something that the average Adderall-taking, Ritalin-taking college girl knows nothing about. And this old man in a crumpled suit, the Pied Piper of the radical, insane communist systems that have destroyed so many lives, has appealed to them. Because many of them are looking for a father or a grandfather figure, as I said, who was never in their life. And that's where he's coming from. Okay, is it time for you to talk? It's 1:25 here on the West Coast. That means it's 4:25. It's 4:27 on the East Coast. My God, how did that happen so quickly? And it's a weekend coming up and a three-day weekend at that. You call it President's Weekend. I call it George Washington and Abraham Lincoln's Weekend. You see, the left stole Washington's birthday from me, and they stole Lincoln's birthday from me, and wrapped it into a thing called President's Weekend, as though Barack Obama and Jimmy Carter are equal to George Washington and Abraham Lincoln. And there's only one holiday that has a name. It's Martin Luther King Jr. Day. Isn't it odd that there's a man's name when it should be Ethnic Day? Shouldn't it be Ethnic Day rather than a man's name? And if you're going to give him a holiday by name, why not give me back Washington's birthday? Okay, let's stop the music for a minute. I want you to sit back in your seats. How many of you have listened to this show going back to 1994 when I was a local host in San Francisco on KSFO and broke out of San Francisco to national acclaim in the year 2000? How many of you remember the things that I said then? Do you remember when I said to you that when fascism comes back to America, it will not be speaking German, and it will not be marching to an oom-pa-pa band? Didn't I tell you that? Well, fascism's ugly face is back, and now it's in the form of a kindly old deli man from New York City, a pickle salesman from the Lower East Side, who is espousing utter and absolute fascism. You don't understand what he is saying, do you? You don't even understand the subtext of his big lie, do you? He's saying that every cop is a Klansman under the blue. He is saying that every man who is shot of color is an innocent victim of a racist cop. And if you are a cop, or the wife of a cop, or the husband of a female officer, or you are a law enforcement family and you still vote Democrat, then you deserve what you get. That's all I can say to you. If you are that ignorant of what they are actually saying they're going to do if they have absolute power. So now listen to clip 9 of this dangerous pickle man, Bernard Commie Sanders, in 09.
We need fundamental police reform, clearly.
Fundamental.
Clearly. When we talk about a criminal justice system, I would hope that we could all agree that we are sick and tired of seeing videos on television of unarmed people, often African Americans, shot by police officers. What we have got to do is make it clear that any police officer who breaks the law will, in fact, be held accountable.
Can anyone listening to this show tell me which police officer who ever shot an unarmed citizen of any race has not been held accountable? Can you raise your hand? Show me one example of a cop who was not immediately investigated and put on desk duty. What is this man saying? He's saying all cops are racist. We're living in the South in the early 1950s, and they're hunting black people. Do you understand how dangerous this psycho is? Now, during this week, I talked about Revolution Comes to America, and I went back to the Communist Manifesto, which I read in college. Many of you don't understand is actually a Communist Manifesto. It's the granddaddy of Hillary and of Bernie, more particularly Bernie in this case, who is avowedly a socialist. The bottom line is that the Communist Manifesto summarized the works of Marx and Engels' theories about the nature of society and politics, and here's what they actually wrote in their own words. The history of all existing society is the history of class struggles, they wrote. This was back in 1848. The history of all existing society is the history of class struggles, they wrote. And it then features their ideas explaining how the capitalist society, even of that time, would eventually be replaced by socialism, which would then become communism. I don't think you understand who Bernie Sanders really is. I don't think you really understand what's waiting for you in this country. I don't think you understand he's really a pit bull waiting to tear you apart, whether you know it or not. He's not a nice old man. He's an evil, dangerous pit bull, a very dangerous one at that. Now, I want to take a caller who knows this dangerous, evil pickle man from Burlington, Vermont, and what he did then. WJR Dennis, tell us what the Pickle Man did when he was the mayor of Burlington.
Well, what the Pickle Man did, he called for government takeover of all electrical utilities, but the cable companies. He wanted to appropriate the Rockefellers' fortune, as he wanted the government to appropriate the Rockefellers' funds. If that's not communism, I don't know what is.
So that's what underneath the nice old Pickle Man's rumpled suit is: pure, unadulterated communist fascism.
Absolutely. And he's not letting that on to the typical American person, because the typical American doesn't do their research. This man, he stood up in front of the United Way Foundation and said that he doesn't believe in what their work, because he believes that charity should be done by government programs.
Wow. Wow. Dennis, you're a very knowledgeable listener, and I thank you for that. Here's an article. North Carolina mom mauled to death by pit bull she adopted only a week before brutal attack. She's saying, well, wait a minute. What does that have to do with Bernie Sanders? Listen to the headline. North Carolina mom mauled to death by pit bull she adopted only a week before brutal attack. She adopted a week before, and the dog tore it to pieces. I think it's a very apt metaphor. And if you've read Animal Farm by George Orwell, you know exactly what I'm saying to you. This man, the crumpled old man in the crumpled old suit, who says he's only for fairness, is that vicious, fanged pit bull waiting to tear the society apart. Now, I don't actually think he'll get to the finish line. I think she is far more dangerous than he is. And I've said from the beginning, and I still believe it, that it's all a charade and an act. I said from the beginning that the Democrat, socialist, Islamist machine called the Clinton gang picked Bernie Sanders, handpicked him, and made him the front runner against her to make her look more what? Moderate. Did you see what I just said to you? Are you following the bouncing ball and seeing the charade? When you see the mad pit bull and you see the nice lady in the mau jacket next to him, the nice lady in the mau jacket seems rather reasonable by comparison. Isn't that correct? Now ask yourself why it was him who was chosen by the Clinton machine rather than someone else. And while you're at it, ask yourself why there are, what, six men still on the stage in the Republican primary debates and only two of the same stripe on the Democrat stage? And while you're at it, ask yourself why the only Democrat who still loved America was thrown off the stage in the beginning, who, by the way, should run again as an independent, to show America that there's another side to the Democrat Party other than communism. And that is a man who was a former U.S., the Secretary of the U.S. Navy. And you don't even know his name, do you? He was a rational man who I certainly respected greatly. They got rid of him immediately, the women who run the Democrat Party. Now he's threatening to come back as a third-party candidate. And I would say to him, Jim Webb, run, Jim, run. America needs you. Run, Jim Webb, run. You may get much more support than you think. And remember this, the media may not be behind you, Jim, but most of America would probably find your message refreshing after listening to the Pickle Man and the other woman. Steve WJR, Scott WFTL, Vinny on WABC, Richard on BOB, Mike on DRC, Dan on ABC, Pete on KLIF. Those are the people holding. We have one open line on the Savage Nation. Pete on KLIF in Dallas. You win the prize. You get the call. Speak, please.
Yeah, Michael, I'm a college professor, and what I'm about to say, if any of my colleagues or superiors knew it was me, I'd be fired immediately. Academia has gone so far left. Our educational system in this country, from our public schools all the way up now through college, has been completely taken over by the left. And let me explain what I mean. We are getting kids that are coming to the college now. Now, I've been there 10 years. We're getting kids that are not qualified to even be in college. But because there's such a takeover of the left, or we're accepting kids without SAT scores, they're bringing kids into these college classes. There's this left-wing mentality that all we need to do is get these kids college degrees and they will go out and be productive members of society. The academic rigor has decreased year after year for 10 years since I've been at this college in order to retain kids and graduate them, because these left-wing crazies truly believe that if we give kids that cannot speak properly, cannot write a sentence, but if we give them a college degree, they're going to go out and be productive.
Right, men. Then they can go hold up a corporation and scream racism when they don't get a job running the company the first week. Listen, I graduated as an undergrad with a Bachelor of Science from Queens College at the City University of New York way back when, and it was an extremely rigorous college at the time. It was very hard. Our curriculum was based on the 100 great books of the University of Chicago. I'm sure you remember that. At least you know what I'm referring to, right? The University of Chicago had a great program for undergrads. It was based on the 100 great books. Are you at all familiar with that?
No.
No, nobody even remembers this. The 100 great books, can you imagine what they'd be today? Jenny Has Two Mommies, that would be one of the great books. But nevertheless, the 100 great books were the core of the curriculum. And it was very difficult, and it was very competitive. It was not an easy thing to get an A in that school. And a lot of smart kids killed themselves to get out of Queens College and go on to careers in medicine, law, you name it, banking, finance, music industry, very hard colleges. Shortly after I left, well, 10 years after I left in the 1970s, exactly what's happening now happened then. And the city universities of New York were mandated to permit morons in, no matter what their grades were or weren't. The morons flooded into the colleges and destroyed them. You ask any teacher who lived through this, you ask any student who lived through this. The morons decimated Queens College, they decimated the City University of New York, the schools became garbage. And as a result of it, there was a backlash. And again, 10 or 15 years later, the people said enough is enough. We cannot have open admissions because the universities are producing idiots. There's no value to a degree from these schools anymore. And so the schools reintroduced standards and qualifications and actual tests and exams. And they became excellent schools again. And now the cycle turned again. And again, they're ushering in through open admissions morons and idiots who never belonged in college to begin with. So we're going through a cycle right now, which eventually will fix itself. Just give it time and make sure you don't vote Democrat, because friends don't let friends vote Democrat. That's all I can say.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I trust to protect my wealth with gold and silver. Call 800-BUY-COI. Let's go to a few callers at the end of this hour. Steve on WJR in Detroit. Wonderful city you're in. I actually lived there for a while. Actually, no, I lived in Pittsburgh. Sorry. Steve on WJR, what's on your mind?
Dax, I want to address the caller about socialism and communism. You mentioned India, and of course, in China, and we certainly wouldn't want our countries to look like that. We still have the greatest economic disparity between the classes in our country due to capitalism. Capitalism is the result. The result of capitalism is depressions, recessions. You might remember a little something after the late 20s.
Steve, you're going in circles. You're saying two things in every sentence. What are you actually saying?
That capitalism, pure capitalism, can't work, and you know that. And we have.
No, don't tell me what I know. I'm not one of the idiots who listen to you while you're all smoking a joint. Don't tell me what I know. What is capitalism? Explain it to me.
Don't tell me I smoke joints. You drink alcohol.
I said to you, tell me what capitalism is, since you're such an expert.
Capitalism is the belief that pure capital is the goal, and that the government should stay out of the way of pure capital.
Wait, hold it. You're not making any sense. What is capitalism? Tell me how it works.
Capitalism means unfettered work or unrestrained business by the government, unrestrained. And it led us to depression.
Wait a minute. Stop for a minute. You're again running over your own words. Have you ever started a business of any kind?
Yes, I have.
Hello? You have. What kind of business?
The landscaping business.
Okay. Now, to start that business, didn't you have to apply for a permit?
Yeah, 100%.
Did you have to invest your own capital in a lawnmower, in a blower, and a ladder, and a truck?
And considerably more than that. That's correct.
Okay. Would you like to have had to apply for 20 permits under a socialist system, as you would have to do, for example, in Panama or in Cuba, rather? Is that what you want, to go through 20 bureaucrats to be a landscaper?
I would much rather live in a country that has...
No, you're not answering the question. You're talking out of a textbook answer. I'm trying to take you step by step down the road that you don't even know you're going. You as a landscaper are performing an honest day's work. You had to apply for permits. Do you want to apply for 50 permits? You want to be blocked by a government at every turn? You certainly don't. Do you want to pay for permits that you can't afford? You certainly don't. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, Stephen, what socialism actually is?
Do I get to speak?
No, you don't. No, you don't get to speak. Take your leaf blower and go talk to your leaf blower. You might make more sense to a leaf blower than you did on the radio. You were given an opportunity, and you said nothing. So I'm not going to waste my listeners' ears for another second of this. I don't actually think he built the business. I think he probably just runs a leaf blower and smokes pot all day long. I live in a county north of San Francisco part-time. If I want to put an addition on my house, I have to go through 30 morons in the county of Marin County, 30 useless idiots who, you ask any contractor what it's like to try to put a new window in a house in this communist little county called Marin. One stupid bureaucrat after another standing in your way. If you want to trim a hedge, you have to pay for permits. If you want to put up a retaining wall, you have to go through permits. If you want to change a roof line, you have to go through permits. That's what communism does to a society. It cripples it. And who has these jobs in Marin County, California? By and large, they are patronage positions. They are positions for the individuals who are too lazy or too stupid to actually perform a useful service for society. And so through politics, they get these little jobs in the planning division after going to a useless college and getting a useless degree in planning. That's if they even went to college. Or they were someone's girlfriend and they get the job as the secretary in the dumb office. That's what socialism is endless permits, endless fees, endless obstructionism to add a window to a house or change the roof line of a house. I had a friend whose family lives in Panama. And he said Panama under the dictator, Noriega, was easier to live in than it is under the bureaucracy that followed the overthrow of Noriega. I said, how could that be? He said, because you only had to be paying off one bribe once to the corrupt government of Noriega. But now with equality under socialism, in Panama, you can't get anything done. Because one day after another, another bureaucrat shows up with another demand, another permit, another fee, another license, another portion of red tape. My friends, we are living in chaos right now. Don't be deceived by the little old pickle salesman in a crumpled suit. He is Lenin light, but surrounding him is Lenin heavy. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be no.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Talk radio for the thinking person, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
What happened to the joy that was in this country? Where did it go? Every day I ask myself that. And watching last night's debates, I thought we were living through the Great Depression again. The two depressed middle-aged women were up there like we had soup kitchens and lines around the block for an apple. Hey, brother, can't you spare a dime? And who are they blaming for it? Obama's been president for 7 years. We've had a socialist slash whatever you want to slash president for how many years now? Who are they blaming for this horribly depressed economy, this racially divided society? Who are they blaming for it? Blaming it on? And certainly not on him. He did it, didn't he? Hasn't he been president for 7 years? So what, more of the same will give us what, something different? So in other words, more of the same of a Barack Obama will give us something different. Is that the answer? No, it's not the answer. The opposite of him is the answer, whoever it may be. And that's what we've been talking about. Last night they were fighting for minority voters in South Carolina. One after the other, pandering to African Americans. One question after another, one answer after another, attacking police, pandering and pandering and pandering. That's all we heard. And you know what? It was sickening to watch. That's what. It was sickening to watch. Where were the questions about ISIS? Where were the questions about all of the other major problems of our society? I didn't hear them. it was a gigantic nightmare for me to watch it, but I enjoyed it because I watched The Nightmare of Elm Street, and I enjoyed that as well. Now let's go to the callers on the Savage Nation. Jimmy, on KLIF in Dallas, we have little time, but we have time for you. What's on your mind?
Dr. Savage, do you remember about 20 or 25 years ago whenever our schools started giving our children gold stars for being failures, mediocrity awards, participation trophies? They started cramming being fairness and equality down their throats. You can't discriminate and everything else. Well, these kids have all grown up now. They've been told, hey, you go to school, you go to college, you have a job and everything else like that. And, you know, they find out, you know, and now they're out in the real world and they find out the world's not fair. It's not equal and everything else like that. And they're very, very angry and stuff. And
all they have to do is look at a football field to see that it's not equal, or a boxing ring. That's life itself, life 101. Whoever said that everything's equal? Not every snowflake is the same. Haven't we been told since childhood by Mr. Rogers that all snowflakes are special, but they're all different? Isn't that true?
Yeah.
So if all snowflakes are different, what are they trying to do, put us all into blue uniforms with little red stars on our cap, as in communist China? That's exactly what this is. It's utter nonsense. And by the way, have you heard any discussion last night from either candidate or either of the old women who are the moderators about the recent police deaths at the hands of minorities? Have you heard anything about it? Have you heard about the Fargo police officer who was fatally shot responding to a routine domestic disturbance, or a 25-year-old police veteran killed while trying to serve a warrant outside Atlanta? Do you know how many cops have been murdered under Obama while performing their duty to protect and serve? Have we heard one question about this last night? Why is there a silence on officer deaths when last night all we heard was the rhetoric of hatred about police brutality against African Americans? What about the issue of dead cops during last night's debate? All we heard was the pickle man, Vermont Senator Sanders, saying he's sick and tired of seeing unarmed black people shot by police. How about cops shot by perpetrators for no reason whatsoever? There has been a rash of violence against police across the country. I can name at least eight of them. In 2016, eight officers have been shot to death. Most of these deaths occurring in the past week, way up from this time last year. Violence against police is at near an all-time high right now. And, my friends, it wasn't mentioned last night. Two Maryland sheriff's deputies were fatally shot earlier this week. By who? Was they shot by a white man? Look, I'm going to say it like it is because I can't take it anymore. Go and look at the stories. Anti-police violence is a huge issue, yet it was not an issue last night. Why is that? Because apparently there are fewer cops than there are people of another demographic. So it's all about votes and nothing else. And the worst of them is not Hillary Clinton, incidentally. She had a little more dignity than did the pickle man from the slums of New York. The pickle man from the slums of New York used the basest of appeals to get the minority vote, and he jumped on this issue. What about the execution of one officer after another, pickle man? He had nothing to say. He turned it right around to talk about Black Lives Matter in order to garner their vote. Sanders, by the way, is the most dangerous candidate in modern American history. And all I can say is he's the one for Trump to beat. And I'd like Trump to address Sanders as well as Hillary the next time he gets up in a debate. I'd like someone to talk about this dangerous pickle man because he's not to be dismissed so easily. KSFO, Lane, line 4 from San Francisco. What's on your mind, Lane?
Hey, doctor. The emperor has no clothes. And I'm in a 20-plus year business relationship with somebody who thinks that Obama is the greatest president of all time and that everything he does is golden. And the reason why he hasn't been able to change the country for better is because of the resistance from the other side. And they haven't.
But he's gotten virtually everything he wanted except seizing our guns. What has he not gotten?
I need your help to figure out. I mean, when someone calls into your station and they're crazy, you can just tell them and boom, hang them up. I'm in relationship with these people and my partner. And I can't get him to see the disconnect between what he says.
So, in other words, his mind is made up. Don't confuse him with the facts. He's that kind of guy?
Yes, he is. And it, I don't know.
Well, what you say to him with a smile without having to get angry is, you know, a man said that hell is a place where there is no reason. And right now, I feel as though I'm in hell talking to you because there's no reason. Now, no matter what I present to you, you say that it doesn't matter because you won't accept a fact for a fact. So how do you reason with a person who has no reason?
I think I'm at that point. I mean, he hated Bush because he thought he lied to get us into war. But Obama gets a pass on the tax thing, on Benghazi, on health care. You can keep your diet. He gets a pass on all that. And there is no reason. And
then don't, you know what? Why argue with him? Why must you argue with him at all? Why not just talk about something else? Why do you feel that you have to convert him? He's an ignoramus. His mind is made up. So just forget about it. Why try to reason with a man who has no reason?
That is the best advice you could give me. And that's
I have given that advice to college students who are trapped in fascist classrooms where the dictator professor gives them an F if they don't agree with them. Don't argue with the teacher. He's not going to listen to you. That's why he became a professor. There used to be a saying, those who can do and those who can't teach. Have you ever heard that one?
Yeah, I have. I mean, in this regard, we have a successful business. We have a cabin in Tahoe.
Then don't argue politics with him. Avoid it. Talk about family. Talk about fishing. Talk about sports. Stay away from politics. It's not a requirement. I know you're probably very passionate about your beliefs, as I am. But believe me, I don't raise political issues wherever I go. There are members of my family who are lifelong Democrats. They have no idea what's going on around them. They're not politically sophisticated. They don't read anything. They don't study anything. They have the same mentality as their grandfather who came off the boat 70 or 80 years ago. I don't even talk politics with them. They're stuck in the past. They don't learn. They can't learn. I will send you a copy of my great tome, Government Zero, and perhaps you can read it yourself and polish up on some of the statements that you'd like to make. Why don't you ask your friend about the rash of police officer murders at the hands of minorities? Why don't you ask your friend about the Muslims who are doing terrible things in this country, that they're not all victims, as Obama would have you believe? Why don't you talk about the realities of what's going on in this world as opposed to the propaganda that's being forced down their throats? And then you'll find out that maybe, just maybe, but I doubt it. Because until somebody is actually touched by their own philosophy, their philosophy is all that they have. Now let's go to another caller. DRC, WDRC. Mike, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Doc. Long time, first time. I want to say, first off, you got a caller from Pittsburgh. There's another millennial kid. I'm a millennial myself, recent college grad, 24 years old. And I was going to say, that kid's probably got a couple hundred thousand dollars in loans for whatever school he was going to. And you could have educated him for, I'm pretty sure you probably could have educated him for a lot less. What's really going on with socialism. It just shows how...
But why should I pay his college debt? Tell me why he should have college for free. Why should I pay for his college?
Well, I'm not saying you should. I'm in agreement.
Well, I didn't. No one paid for my college. I had to work three jobs to put myself through college. Would I rather have sat home and listened to Latin music and smoked dope and gone to dances every night? Sure I would have, but I couldn't. I had to hold down jobs in order to get through school. And I went to graduate school. I had two children. I had to hold down professional careers in order to go through graduate school. Would I rather have had a government pay for it? Sure I would have, but no one did. So where there's a will, there's a way. If you have brains and drive, you can get where you're going anyway.
Why?
Thanks for the call. There's no point in talking to them. Sanders is a demagogue of the lowest order. He's the most dangerous man in modern American political history, far more dangerous than you may imagine, and he's appealing to all of the children who grew up on Adderall and Karl Marx. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
My Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com. It's the only company I trust to protect my wealth. Call 800-BUY-CO. Turn it off. It's for falsetto. I never liked falsetto singing. President Obama on Thursday night dined with three Hollywood VIPs, Jeffrey Katzenberg, after a series of fundraisers in Hollywood and Los Angeles. So he dined with the DreamWorks Animation CEO, the Walt Disney Studios chairman, and the Academy Award-nominated actor. Now, why do you think he dined with them? Well, he went there after a $10,000-a-person fundraiser at the home of Leah and Sam Fisher. Well, they all do it. I get that. But why do you think Katzenberg and those in Hollywood like Spielberg? Why do we think I always say Katzenberg, Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and Ratzenberg? Why do they love Obama? Why do they keep throwing money at him? Have you looked at the tax structure of Hollywood? Have you looked at the favored status of Hollywood? Have you looked at the amount of money they don't pay for the movies they're producing? Have you looked at any of this? Well, look into it. You'll see that there's a quid pro quo. That's how it works when you have a corrupt presidency. And it won't get any better under Bernie Sanders or Hillary Clinton. It'll get a lot worse. The only one who can change it would be a Republican. And either Cruz or Trump can change it. Nobody else. Nobody else would, and nobody else could. And none of the other candidates on the Democrat side, of the two socialists, or demagogues, if you want to call them, have said one word about the epidemic of police officer murders in the United States in 2016 as a result of the demagogue currently in the White House, Barry Obama. How anyone in police work or law enforcement can ever vote for a Democrat when so much is at stake, I will never understand. And now I want to tell you about a dream. You know, every once in a while I tell you about a dream that I have. Some of you are fanatical listeners. Remember I told you about the white owl months and months ago, and I painted a picture of it, which I put on my Facebook page? I have dreams that are sometimes prophetic and sometimes just silly or just sometimes interesting. But I remember a lot of my dreams. Well, this morning I woke up with a start because it was so clear. I was at a, like an event, a car event. And I was with Donald Trump at some kind of like a Pebble Beach event. I never go to these. I'd like to go to Pebble Beach, but I've never gone down there. I watch him on TV on the, all these car shows. And all of a sudden, like a 1978 restored Cadillac Eldorado pulled up. You know, like showroom. Remember how big those 78 caddies were, the Eldorado? Like a Lambo. Remember those? And it was like showroom perfect. And I said to Donald that when you become president, you're going to make America feel great again. It's going to be like the streets are going to have cars that are this big that we'll be proud of again. Now, I'm not saying I want cars that big, because I already have one. I have the Dodge Hellcat, which is good enough for me. But it's a metaphor for what America needs to become again. Big, overt, and proud. I am so sick and tired of Americans walking around like beaten dogs. That's what we are. Barack Obama has made us feel like beaten dogs in our own country. That's what I'm saying to you, and I'm sick of it. I want America to be proud. I don't want to see Navy men weeping when they're captured by the Iranians. I want to see anyone who's captured who breaks down in tears tried in a court-martial. That's what I want to see. I want to see guys who do that court-martialed for doing it, for embarrassing the U.S. military. I'm sick of the sissification of the U.S. military under Barry. I'm sick of the corruption of our morality. I'm sick of everything that he's done to this country. He won't mention one thing about the police officer, the epidemic of police officer murders. And all we heard last night about victims day and night, day and night, day and night, day and night, and the demagogue, the pickle man, attacking cops, and he thinks that there's no result of attacking cops day and night? Take a look at the news that you're not getting in your local paper. Your lousy newspapers that won't report anything unless the, let us say, the narrative is a certain type of narrative. They won't show who the perpetrator is unless it's a certain type of perpetrator. We don't all see the maniacs who are running the newspapers and what they're doing. We can't look through it. Every time you see a story of a violent act, you look immediately for the perpetrator. Am I right? The first thing you do is look to see who the perpetrator was. Just human curiosity would have you do that. But you don't see them unless they look like Timothy McVeigh, unless they're white hair, white skin, blonde hair and blue eye. They don't show the perp. By and large, the perps are not shown. It's got to be one narrative only, according to the brainwashing newspapers. So, last night it happened again. There was the pickle man Sanders putting out the big lie that police officers are killing black people, unarmed black people, in an epidemic, just going around executing them. You know, I think Sanders should be put in prison for what he did last night. He made policemen vulnerable to being killed. Sanders is a demagogue. He's not entitled to free speech in this case because he's yelling fire in a crowded theater. Listen to what I just said to you. I have limits on my speech on this show, and I've lived with it for 21 years. Sanders is violating the tenet of don't yell fire in a crowded movie theater. That lousy, low-life street radical from New York, the pickle man, is trying to get more cops killed with his lying rhetoric. He's making it sound as though a police officer who shoots somebody is in fact above the law. and only under Sanders will they be held accountable. This is after 7 years of a black president? Do you actually believe it? We have a black attorney general that any cop who shoots somebody is not accountable for it? Tell me who believes that.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
We need fundamental police reform. Clearly, when we talk about a criminal justice system, I would hope that we can all agree that we are sick and tired of seeing videos on television of unarmed people, often African Americans, shot by police officers. What we have got to do is make it clear that any police officer who breaks the law will, in fact, be held accountable.
I would like a law passed that any candidate who steams up one race against the other is held accountable. I would like to see standards in political campaigns where vermin of this low order are actually fined for trying to steam up the killing of police. There's a new article out, just came out this afternoon, Christian conservatives pivotal in the South and feeling under siege. What does that mean? It says in the South, now the pivotal battlefield of the 2016 race, faith and politics walk the aisle together. And while Christians have always dominated American politics, listen very carefully to the next line. Bernie Sanders, this week, became the first non-Christian ever to win a presidential primary in U.S. history. And as a result, conservative Christians feel under siege. That is such a loaded sentence. And truer words were never written. Marriage is being redefined, and they're being forced to go along. A new health law mandates free contraception, even if it violates their core beliefs. Even the greeting Merry Christmas feels under assault. And it says their anxiety and anger help explain the rise of Republican outsider candidates like Ted Cruz of Texas, where he says any president who doesn't begin every day on his knees isn't fit to be commander-in-chief. And even billionaire Donald Trump, who says, if I'm president, you're going to see Merry Christmas in department stores, believe me. And their clout is at its peak right now. And so we have this going on in the country, a war for the soul of America, the Bible versus the doctrine of Karl Marx, is how I would put it. You know, I wish it's almost separated like that. I would almost say it's the Bible or Christ versus the Antichrist, if you want to get it into a theological realm. It's the Bible versus Karl Marx's Das Kapital. It's Das Kapital in the hands of the Pickle Man. The Pickle Man is holding up Das Kapital as though he wrote it, with his ugly purple hands, waving his ugly, dirty hands at us with a copy of the Communist Manifesto as though he himself wrote it, as though he discovered all the principles of turning one race against another, one class against another. He didn't write Das Kapital, but he's wrote it very, very far, hasn't he? So that's what's at stake. That's where we are. Now the calls. Sheldon on KSFO. What's on your mind, Mr. Sheldon?
The world is really in a mess right now. That's why I fully support Donald Trump. I think this thing about blacks being the victims, I'm black myself. I think it's really played out. It's really embarrassing for them to always use that as an excuse for people acting up. I mean, my God, the guy was waving the knife in front of the policeman. I mean, if you're dumb enough to do that, something's going to happen. I mean, if you put yourself in really victim situations, something's going to happen to you. I'm sorry. And people are just so afraid to hear the truth. The truth is what really hurts. And that's why Donald Trump is doing so well.
Donald, as an African-American yourself, I mean, I would think that times are very uncomfortable for you right now because of the demagoguery going on, trying to use black people almost as a tool to get ahead is what they're doing. They're using the whole issue of race to advance their careers is what I see.
Yeah, that's what I see too, and it's really sad. I mean, the world is really in a mess. I mean, just like those actors that are complaining about not being nominated for the Oscars. I mean, that is so annoying. I mean, they're lucky just to be up there making all that money just for acting. I mean, there was that actress that went
out. I know. How could you suddenly say it's based on race? I mean, it's almost a sweet justice for all the liberals in Hollywood who thought that they were immune to being called racist, don't you think?
Exactly. It's really embarrassing. It's really terrible.
Sheldon, I was once in a San Francisco department store. Oh, this is maybe 15 years ago. And there was an upper middle class black guy with his two sons, both of whom were extremely well dressed. They were very, just really polished guys, and they were shopping in an upscale department store in the city. I forget where. The kids were college age, and they were really well dressed and well behaved. Well, in came a group of thugs of the same race who tried to pick a fight with his sons because they were too well dressed. Can you believe that, Sheldon?
Yeah, I believe it because it happens all the time. I had somebody actually tell me one time when I called up with another station. I don't want to mention the station. That how dare I call myself black when I don't agree with all these other blacks that are playing the victim role. How dare you?
Well, remember what I said on this station, KSFO, for over 20 years now, is that minorities lose their minority status when they're no longer useful to the Democrat socialist machine. That goes for blacks, Hispanics, it goes for Asians, it goes for Jews, it goes for Muslims. If anyone who is considered a minority in the normal, let us say, voter block within the Democrat Socialist Party doesn't go along with the party line, they are no longer considered useful to that party, and they are rejected from that party and made to feel as though they're non-persons. They are made into a persona non grata. I'm sending you a copy of Government Zero because I think you'd really enjoy that, Sheldon. I know I don't often talk about the book, but it's a very important one that should not be forgotten. It's the Bible of the Savage Nation, Government Zero. And so there's a big, big thing going on in South Carolina right now where evangelical Christians feel extremely pressured. And the people are objecting to same-sex marriage, and they say it's not rooted in hostility toward other people. But they believe, as Christian conservatives, that marriage involves one man and one woman. But they're not allowed to believe what they believe anymore. They're supposed to be considered non-people because they believe in the Bible and they believe in the gospel. And there's nothing else that's allowed to be talked about. Never forget that religion has always been a part of the South's DNA, which is a legacy of its rural past. Religion was the lifeblood of many communities, not only in the South, but in America. Look around your communities now. Take a look at all the churches that are now empty. Look at the crosses sitting over those empty buildings that are now used as drunk rehab tanks on Tuesday nights. That was the cornerstone of America when your mother could walk to the grocery store at night and pick up a quart of milk without fear of being molested. So don't tell me religion was a negative influence in this country. Don't tell me that teaching children in school the Ten Commandments was a negative thing. I didn't mind it when I was a kid. Everywhere I turned, I saw a moral lesson being jammed down my throat. It didn't do me any harm. It didn't stop me from doing what I wanted to do, but I knew that I was doing wrong when I didn't follow those tenets. At least I knew a red light from a green light from a yellow light. I needed to know right from wrong, didn't I? Didn't someone have to teach me as a child who knew nothing, right from wrong? Didn't I know what was right and what was wrong? Did I inherently know what was right and wrong? No. According to the left, according to Bernie Sanders and the Pied Pipers of the left, the tenet of if it feels good, do it, is the only Bible you need. If you want to do it, just do it in the road. That's the tenet of the 60s. That's what you see on the stage. There is no right and there is no wrong. If it feels good, do it. But again, look at your community. Look at the church steeples. Look at the empty buildings that were once churches. That was the lifeblood of your community. That was the cornerstone of your town. And they're empty now. And tell me, has the morality of America improved or gone into the toilet bowl? Tell me the movies, the quality of the movies on the Katzenberg, and Spielberg. Have the quality of the movies gotten better or gotten worse? With no morality, no moral codes, no ethical codes, have they gotten better or they have gotten worse? Tell me, is your community safer or less safe as a result of the violence portrayed by Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg? Tell me that the plethora of movies that show people being shot, stabbed, knifed, or axed, in which actors such as Sean Penn act on a regular basis, has not had a caustic effect upon the minds of weak individuals. Tell me that we wouldn't be better off if there was no self-censorship in the film industry. Now you understand why Obama is welcomed with such bags of money in Hollywood. Now, am I calling for censorship? No, I'm calling for a certain self-censorship in Hollywood. How's that? I'm talking about limiting certain imagery. I'm talking about not putting out images of mad dog scenes into the minds of a drug society. But then who am I talking to? One of the most religious states in the country, according to the latest Gallup survey. Do you know who they are, where they are? The states of the old Confederacy, along with Utah and Oklahoma, now make up the most religious states in the country. We're not talking about San Francisco. We're not talking about New York City. We're not talking about cities like that. They're wonderful cities, but they have no center. They have no core. They have no character. There's nothing there. There's no there there. They're empty. The people are walking around on drugs. It's the states that still have a basis in religion that make up the backbone of the United States of America. And they have, by the way, it's interesting, the Christians themselves have a lot of respect for diverse opinion. They may not agree with those opinions and views, but they will accept them because they're good people. But anytime Christians express their own point of view, they are attacked viciously by those who have been brainwashed by the Bernie Sanders in the colleges and in the media. Christians are now open game. Christians can be criticized anywhere you turn. On television by the weaklings and the late night shows, they make a mockery of white Christians on a regular basis. But what happens when you try to criticize any other sect or group? Tell me what happens in America. Well, what happens is we have what we have now in the United States of America. We have a gigantic schism. We have a gigantic divide. There is revolution in the air. And we have an election coming up that will determine the soul of America. It's that simple. We all know that, which is why people are now watching these debates in extraordinarily high numbers. I was told last night by a major player in the media on the telephone that the viewership and the intensity of the viewership about these debates is that equal to the OJ trial right now. That people are watching the debates the same way they watched the OJ trial. Because they know that the outcome will determine the future of America. I didn't know that. I didn't know so many people were obsessed with it. I know that it's affected my show rather dramatically. To be very frank with you, I used to like a more diverse show than the one I've been doing lately. I'm doing almost a strictly political show for the last 3, 4, 5 weeks. And yet people I respect are sending me emails saying, I've never heard such shows in my life. They're the best shows of your entire career. You're at a new height every day. Last week you did shows. I never heard anything like it, they said. They asked me how I do them. And I said, well, I'm staying focused on politics. I don't really want to. But I know that that's all people want to talk about. They know what's at stake. And so I'd like to get, you know, off the track a little bit and go into the stuff I used to do. But I don't do it. I can't do it because I know what you want to talk about. It's all you want to talk about. And as I said to you earlier, revolution has come to America. It's in the air. And the soul of America is up for grabs. And I believe the Republicans under Trump, or Cruz for that matter, represent America's hope. And the Democrat Party, whoever it may be, the corrupt Hillary or the psychotic communist Bernie, they represent the communist revolution. It's as simple as that. And I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or Swiss America.
What has to be appreciated is that as a result of the disastrous and illegal behavior on Wall Street, millions of lives were hurt. People lost their jobs, their homes, their life savings. Turns out that the African American community and the Latino community were hit especially hard. As I understand it, the African American community lost half of their wealth as a result of the Wall Street collapse.
There are so many lies in what he just said that I'll begin with the beginning. First of all, if you remember Congressman Barney Frank, the funny guy from Massachusetts, he forced banks to give loans to unqualified applicants based on their race. Do you remember that? They were calling it greenlining. Do you remember that? And they said, you're not giving enough mortgages to unqualified people of color, so you must give out the loans. And the bank said, look, they have nothing down. I can't. They have no jobs or whatever. It doesn't matter. You're a racist if you're not giving. So they gave out the loans, and then when things went south, they lost their houses. So this evil pickle salesman who would be laughed out of anywhere in New York City. People can look right through this guy. They know the type. Everyone knows of Bernie Sanders. They all left him behind in their family. Everyone had a Bernie Sanders in their family, an old holdover from the ILGWU, from the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire, the kind who got up on a soapbox and screamed about communism and socialism. We all laughed at them. Some of us even fled New York City to never hear them again. And now we wake up, and here he is, spewing his lies and his hatred in order to turn race against race. And by the way, we're in a culture war as well, and the other side is winning. Both sides, the other side is winning. A professor of religion at BU, whose latest book is about politics and the culture war, said, you don't have to be a cynic to see the ways in which evangelicals have been used by Republicans. You see that? And it is a long-standing lament in conservative Christian circles that Republicans won their votes with promises to overturn Roe v. Wade, which legalized abortion, and did nothing about it. Planned Parenthood still receives federal tax dollars for its health care services, despite the fact that videos were released which showed Planned Parenthood monsters illegally negotiating over the sale of fetal tissue from its abortion of unborn babies. And in fact, to add insult to injury, a Texas grand jury indicted the video makers on forged documents charges instead of the baby body parts sales girls. And so if you look at the culture wars, there's reasons to be quite cynical. And many Christians are discouraged with politics as a result of all of this. They were lied to. They're realizing that many politicians are just concerned about the next election. That's on the Christian conservative side. But now tell me about middle-class African Americans. Tell me they don't see the Bernie Sanders communism pandering to them with these big lies about how oppressed their people are, based upon nothing. Or Hillary Clinton pandering to ethnic minorities. Tell me that they don't see through this. Because I believe that people can see things for themselves. And ultimately, God sees the truth but waits. But as I have so wisely asked a million times, I wish you'd stop waiting already. God, where are you when we need you? How did you let America come to this point that a gutter rat like Bernie Sanders can get so far and fly so high?